It was while puzzling over this problem that Bohr was struck by a solution and dashed off his famous paper, called On the Constitutions of Atoms and Molecules. The paper explained how electrons could keep from falling into the nucleus by suggesting that they could occupy only certain well-defined orbits. According to the new theory, an electron moving between orbits would disappear from one and reappear instantaneously in another without visiting the space between. This idea, the famous quantum leap, is of course utterly strange. But it was too good not to be true. It not only kept electrons from spiraling catastrophically into the nucleus, it also explained hydrogen's bewildering wavelengths. The electrons only appeared in certain orbits because they only existed in certain orbits. It was a dazzling insight, and it won Bohr the 1922 Nobel Prize in Physics, the year after Einstein received his. Meanwhile, the tireless Rutherford, now back at Cambridge as J.J. Thomson's successor as head of the Cavendish Laboratory, came up with a model that explained why the nuclei didn't blow up. He saw that they must be offset by some type of neutralizing particles, which he called neutrons. The idea was simple and appealing, but not easy to prove. Rutherford's associate, James Chadwick, devoted 11 intense years to hunting for neutrons before finally succeeding in 1932. He, too, was awarded with a Nobel Prize in Physics in 1935. As Bohrs and his colleagues point out in their history of the subject, the delay in discovery was probably a very good thing, as mastery of the neutron was essential to the development of the atomic bomb. Because neutrons have no charge, they aren't repelled by the electrical fields at the heart of an atom, and thus could be fired like tiny torpedoes into an atomic nucleus, setting off the destructive process known as fission. Had the neutron been isolated in the 1920s, they note, it is very likely the atomic bomb would have been developed first in Europe, undoubtedly by the Germans. As it was, the Europeans had their hands full trying to understand the strange behaviour of the electron. The principal problem they faced was that the electron sometimes behaved like a particle and sometimes like a wave. This impossible duality drove physicists nearly mad. For the next decade, all across Europe, they furiously thought and scribbled and offered competing hypotheses. In France, Prince Louis-Victor de Broglie, the scion of a ducal family, found that certain anomalies in the behaviour of electrons disappeared when one regarded them as waves. The observation excited the attention of the Austrian Erwin Schrödinger, who made some deft refinements and devised a handy system called wave mechanics. At almost the same time, the German physicist Werner Heisenberg came up with a competing theory called matrix mechanics. This was so mathematically complex that hardly anyone really understood it, including Heisenberg himself. "I do not even know what a matrix is," Heisenberg despaired to a friend at one point. But it did seem to solve certain problems that Schrödinger's waves failed to explain. The upshot is that physics had two theories, based on conflicting premises, that produced the same results. It was an impossible situation.